Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming Eden Byrne, youth advocate, writer, and change maker. Welcome to Amplifying Leadership.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
I'm very excited to have you on today. But so our audience knows a little bit about you. Tell me why leadership or where you are with leadership.
Yeah, so I started my leadership journey in 2021. I was part of the National Children's Bureau, which is an organization here in Northern Ireland. And I started on their National Anti-Bullying Forum. So I was representing the country, trying to promote anti-bullying in schools. And that was kind of where I started. And then kind of since then, I've been involved in maybe 60 organizations and charities.
Wow.
So quite a lot. Yeah. I've been involved in different research groups. I've sat on youth steering groups and panels, advisory roles. And now I actually also have my own podcast
awesome.
On Be the Change Media Network, and it's called Sports for All, and it's around like youth sport, youth inclusion. I'm all about getting young people overcoming barriers and getting them involved in youth voice, and kind of allowing them that space to be able to have their say and get involved. So yeah,
that's excellent. You're doing a lot of great stuff.
Yeah,
It's only
definitely.
four
It's
years.
Been quite a journey over the last few years. I really enjoyed
Yeah,
it.
absolutely. So why don't you start by giving our audience your definition of youth leadership? So when we're talking today about that as a topic, what does that actually mean to you?
Yeah, so this kind of, it can look quite different for depending on what role and what organization, but it's really just allowing young people that space, that opportunity to have their voice heard and take maybe more of an active role in the community or in the organization, charity, and allow them to really feel represented as well. I think that's so important, and be able to share their own views and opinions. And it could be voluntary, it could be in a paid capacity, but ensuring that young people have that safe space and feel like their voice really matters is so important.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Because, you know, when we think about businesses, a lot of people think about, you know, middle age when we're talking about leaders or managers or supervisors or whatever, but it really is about having everybody's voice heard. And if we have our young people coming into organizations who are very different than the older people in the organization, we need the voices of both to be heard. What do you think is the biggest challenge for the youth, maybe when they're first starting out, in getting a voice heard to other leaders or upper levels in an organization?
Yeah, I think a lot of the time it's young people not feeling like they have the skills and the experiences and maybe also like the perspectives that maybe businesses and organizations might look for. I know I was speaking to somebody recently about like young trustees and like the amount of, you know, that's a movement that's developing now, but there's still so many organizations and charities that don't have a youth board or young people being trustees or taking those leadership roles. I think also young people are often balancing, I mean, we all are in different ways, but we're balancing so much in our lives, like school, uni, work, caring responsibilities, you know, if you have health challenges as well. So I think it can be really hard to kind of navigate that whilst also being a young leader. And I think having those kind of boundaries and being able to advocate for yourself is so important, but can be really challenging. Especially if the environment's not created in the way that maybe allows you to feel open and honest and able to do that. And I think also that kind of a lot of organizations often maybe if they have one young person, they can be viewed as the star of the show. You know, we are engaging young people because we have one young person, and there's that kind of tokenistic piece. So I think it's really important that you get a wide variety of different young people's opinions and perspectives if you can, and ensure they're feeling really valued and not just kind of brought out on these random occasions that you might need their input, like ensuring that they are kept up to date and valued.
And it's interesting you talk about the token youth, because in some organizations, they're very heavily male or maybe heavily female dominated. You have the same thing with gender, right? Or if it's an older generation who's running the business, maybe family owned, then you have the same problem with age.
Yeah.
So the idea of having that token person, maybe for me it's a woman on, at a table, and for you it's a youth at a table, doesn't mean that we're being heard as effectively as we could be, does it?
No, absolutely not. And I think also it's really interesting because for me, a lot of youth voice opportunities are national, and sometimes I kind of fall into that tokenistic Northern Ireland young person. I've been in that instance as well on a few occasions, and I think it's just maybe sometimes opportunities aren't often brought here. I'll probably talk a bit about the barriers and stuff later, but I think often we don't maybe get as equal access to opportunities in certain areas and certain parts of the UK as well. So yeah, it's really interesting, a whole wide range of different ways it can be tokenistic.
Yeah, let's talk about those challenges and barriers, right? Because I know that for many organizations, they don't think about the youth coming in. You'd mentioned skills earlier that, maybe you don't have the skills that the expectation's there for, but do they have to? Right? What are some of those challenges and barriers that you're seeing that the young people coming into organizations, or young leaders, if they happen to suddenly be a supervisor, early 20s, what are some of those challenges and barriers that you are seeing?
I think a lot of the time it's the young people feeling that they're not able to have their say, and maybe feeling like intimidated from the other leaders. I think a lot of the time, people have good intentions and they want young people involved and they want to kind of try and make that safe space and, ensure that young people are able to get involved. But sometimes it doesn't often go to plan, and I think a lot of the time organizations, maybe they don't take on the feedback that the young people are giving, and then sometimes the young people don't feel like their contributions are being valued, and therefore might disengage, or might be reluctant to get involved in the future. So I think it's really important that organizations are like really valuing young people's contributions and actually taking board what they have to say and really like showing them what those outputs are as well. I think so important because a lot of the time, maybe you go to a consultation, and you sh give lots of opinions and really important points of view, and then you don't really know what happens after that. You kind of just they just move on without you. So I think it's so important that your kind of perspectives are ensured that you're giving them, but you're also receiving the feedback, and what is being implemented afterwards is so important.
What do you think is one of the strategies that we could do to actually help current leaders really welcome in our youth, our younger generation, and younger leaders too, and not just kind of go, oh yeah, Eden just said that. Oh, okay, whatever. And we're going to do what I always do. How do we start to get them to see it differently? Like, as we're two different generations, how do we start to see things differently? You and I are on the same page, but many are not,
I think
right?
it's just, yeah, I totally agree. I think it's just like allowing the young people that space to kind of communicate in different ways, and feedback. Feedback's so important, and being open and honest and authentic with them as well, saying, okay, maybe we won't be able to implement this idea straight away, but like being really honest, and not kind of leading us on, I guess, because I've been in some instances where they've said they're going to do stuff and it hasn't happened, and it maybe wasn't going to happen, but we kind of thought it was. And I think just being adaptable to young people's perspectives and points of view, and getting that balance of treating them as young people, but also just like normal people, because like a lot of the time there's that tokenistic point of view. And I think also, like we don't often maybe sometimes struggle with jargon and stuff, but actually young people have so many different ideas and so many interesting ideas, and I think it's just important just to really listen and try and implement what we've got to say.
Yeah, and you have a point too. If you can't implement it for whatever reason, right? Let's still recognize the
Yeah.
idea. Let's say why we can't do it. Maybe, okay, thank you for that amazing idea. It's going to cost 2 million and we don't have 2 million, but maybe in 5 years we can put that on the plan. But explaining the why behind why it doesn't make sense is more important than just leading people on. And leading people on it, youth especially, but any generation. I mean, let's not lead people on, right? Because that's not fair. Let's explain where we're at. Let's be open and honest, which I love that you mentioned, because communication, favorite topic of mine. We need to be open and honest about the why behind yes or no's for everybody, really. But I do want to come back to something that you're talking about youth and people not being heard. And I want our audience to think about this, and I want your opinion on this. We were all there once. So why are we making it difficult for our youth or our young leaders?
I think sometimes you forget what it's like to be a young person and kind of navigating so many different challenges. And I think especially now, there's so many new things. We've got like all that social media pressure. There's a lot more emphasis on academics as well, and I think also struggles around employment. There's so much issues going on, and there's so much going on in all of our heads all of the time. And I think often sometimes people forget that and forget that young people have a lot of other things going on as well, and just to try and manage their responsibilities can be really hard whenever you're so young. So I think just being really mindful and respectful of young people's time and energy, I think, is so important as well, and really valuing their contributions, like I've been saying, is so key to getting the best engagement out of them.
Absolutely. And I don't know about you over in Ireland, but here our youth are really having a hard time finding jobs. I mean, the unemployment rate for the youth is very, very high. Is it the same over there?
Yeah, it is. Especially after graduating from university, I know a lot of people really, really struggle. It's so competitive.
Why do you think it is? Or at least for you.
I think a lot of the time it's, I mean, I kind of hear mostly of people, knowing somebody to get a job, it's that kind of knowing thing. But I
Oh,
think it's
yes.
a lot of the time not having kind of work experience and feeling like you have those skills, or feeling that you're able to demonstrate them in different ways. I mean, we all have skills and things that we've developed throughout our lives, but being able to kind of transfer them into a job, I think some young people might find that quite hard. I know I was speaking to somebody recently about like young carers and the amazing skills and opportunities that they have developed through being a carer for their sibling or their parent or their grandparent. But a lot of the time they don't realize that these skills are actually so transferable,
Oh, yes.
and so important to all aspects of their lives. So I think it's just about really highlighting those skills and really transferring them into other parts of your life.
Absolutely, absolutely. When I do some career coaching, I help people understand that even though they don't have the 100% on that job ad, doesn't mean that skills aren't transferable, even in a broader way. And I want to come back to a couple of things that you've talked about, which is number one is the listening. My favorite communication thing to talk about is listening to your young leaders or the youth that you have in your organization so that we can kind of get out of the tunnel vision that maybe we have at the leadership table if the leadership table is not diverse specifically, right? How do we help our leaders understand that we should not just listen, but also consider and take action on what these people are telling us?
I think it's just so important to really take on board what they have to say and really think about it as well. Like even at the time of the meeting, you can say, oh yes, I might, yes, I'll do that, yes, I'll write that down. But like really like looking into what they have to say and what they really want out of that opportunity, or what they really want out of that service. Or a lot of the time, like, we want to improve things for people, and a lot of the time most people get involved in these opportunities selflessly, and really want other young people to get better experiences than they had previously themselves. So I think it's just really taking on board what young people have been saying and really looking at it from the perspective of them, and really valuing their insight.
I want to come back to when you were talking about skills, because skills, we talked about being transferable and things like that, but The younger generations, the youth leaders and the youth that are coming into to jobs, could we see them as a fit and build skills? Do you find that that is something that some of the older leaders are missing, that maybe they don't have 100% of the skills, but we can build that if they're a good fit for moving us forward?
Yeah, definitely. I think if any young person comes in and is really, passionate and wants to really innovate, change, and really wants to make a difference, I think definitely you can definitely build on skills. I mean, confidence comes over time. And I know personally, like I was not very confident when I started this, and now I'm on podcasts. So, these things really come over time, and I think just allowing young people that space and the opportunity to be able to develop those skills is so important, and giving them that chance, that one person who says, "Oh, would you like to do that?" And maybe you say, "Oh, I'm not sure. I'm a bit nervous. I don't think that's for me." But just taking that opportunity is so important, because you don't know where it'll lead you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so when it comes to recruiting, a lot of people are, here's the skills I need, here's the education I require, and many youth don't have all of that, and so I try to encourage people who are hiring to consider, almost doing blind resumes, so there's no name, there's no, dates on it, things like that, or to ensure they have a diverse table, whether that be a leadership table or a diverse group. What are your thoughts on recruiting? What mistakes, if you've seen this, do you think that some people are making? Is it they're using the wrong language? Are they using, need to have 15 years experience when maybe that's not a requirement? What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of jobs and a lot of opportunities do require you to have a certain length of experience, but there's not a lot of opportunities for you to be able to gain that experience in that specific sector. I know, especially in kind of retail and also education, I think that's another, those are two big ones here that you need a certain level of experience to be able to do it. But where are you going to get that experience if you if you're a young person just coming straight out of a degree or school or education? So yeah, I think it's definitely a really big thing. I think in terms of like recruiters, making those opportunities a bit more accessible, I think that blind application process is so important as well, because a lot of people just make assumptions about young people still, without knowing anything about them or even like kind of reading it. So I think, yeah, just making things more accessible and more inclusive is really important, and allowing young people to be able to show their skills in other areas. Maybe they haven't worked in customer service for 10 years, but maybe they have been on a leadership team or worked in a different environment. So yeah, it's so important to allow them the opportunity to showcase what they do have to offer.
Yeah, and volunteering to do customer service at a charity is just the same amount of work effort as it is to be paid for it, right? I mean, we can look at those opportunities, especially youth. I mean, I don't know where everybody else listening lives, but where we are specifically in Ontario, Canada, my daughter has to do so much volunteering before she can even leave school, before she can graduate high school, which is great because it builds a skill set that you can then take into a job or a university or whatever, right? I want to talk about our diverse age groups on leadership teams. So let's say we have a young person as a new manager or supervisor, and we have the older person and everybody in between, because there's several groups right now who are in the workplace. How do we make sure that those who are set in their ways and those who are new with fresh ideas, how do we get them to work together? How do we see how they can collaborate? I mean, you mentioned listening, but not everybody's great at that. Do you have any other strategies that can really help with that leadership team at the table, all
I
levels?
think,
What do they do, right?
yeah, I think for the young people, I think just being open to asking questions is so important. I know it can be quite intimidating, but just being really open to learn from the other leaders in the group can be really insightful to expand your knowledge, but also allow you that space to be able to, be seen as somebody who is really interested. I think also for the more senior leaders, just being open to different feedback and really valuing what the young people are saying. I know it can be Maybe you don't really know how to react straight away, but just taking a moment to step back and actually look at what they're saying and think, okay, maybe this is something we could do. Maybe this is something, maybe we aren't able to do this, but actually being able to communicate that and feed that back to the young person is so important. I think just communication is so key. And just being really open and honest is so important.
So let's look at it the other way. We have someone young leader or youth, and we're at that leadership table, and they aren't listening to the older generation, because that can happen too. How do we, now they're shut down. Maybe someone's saying, well, we can't do that because budget doesn't allow, right? And so they feel shut down and they lack a little bit less, more, sorry, they lack confidence more because they've been shut down a couple of times. How do we make sure that they're also listening up rather than everybody just listening down, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, that does make sense. I think it is so tricky for young people to kind of be shut down and that. I mean, anybody, but I think whenever you're going into those spaces and maybe it's your first time, you do feel kind of like the black sheep, I guess, in the room. I know even recently I was at a research project and I was the youngest there and I still felt a bit like, oh my goodness. And I've been doing this for 4 years and should feel like I'm kind of used to this by now, being one of the youngest people in the space, but it's not, it still can be quite tricky sometimes to navigate. So I think just doing your best to not let other people's kind of perceptions or maybe their influence kind of put you down. And I think not taking criticism to heart is so important. I think just being sure, just being really confident in yourself and your own ability, I think, is so important. But yeah, it can be definitely really tricky sometimes.
And I think the lesson for everybody is learning to collaborate with multiple generations, because everybody has great ideas from all levels, and it's about what's the best one to move us forward rather than, well, we don't do that. She's too young, she doesn't know, or that person's too old, like, they're just stuck in their ways. It's about learning to collaborate with everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's so important.
So I want to wrap up today by you leaving us with a key takeaway. Now, I want you to consider the leadership table. We have multiple generations at it. What is the key takeaway you want to leave for every single person in that room?
Kind of a bit cliche, but somebody said to me, and it's something I've been thinking about a lot recently. Young people are not just the voices of the future, but they're the voices of today. And I think that is so important to remember, especially whenever you're in those spaces with those young people. They're making the difference. They're coming up with these great ideas. They're really living through everything that is going on in the world. So I think it's just so important to remember that. And I think just allowing them, like I've been saying, that space to be open, be authentic, and be flexible. And if you're a leader who's maybe been there for a few years, just really being open to new perspectives and being accommodating and adaptable, it's just so important.
Key words for every leader, right? Accommodating, collaborative, adaptable, listening, communication. I mean, I think every level needs to hear that.
Absolutely, yeah.
Any final thoughts before we wrap up?
I don't think so, no. I think that has been great. Thank you so much.
Of course. So, if our audience wanted to learn more about you, what you do, can they find you online somewhere?
Yeah, so I'm on LinkedIn. I'm just my name, Eden Byrne, and then I've also got my podcast on Be the Change Media Network. It's called Sports for All, and there's lots of amazing podcasts all run by young people on that network as well. So yeah, worth having a look.
Excellent. Excellent. And so Eden's last name is Bryne. All right, just so our audience can find you easier. Thanks so much for your insights and the information and tips you shared today, Eden. I do hope that everybody is listening to this and learning a bit more about collaboration with all levels.
Thank you so much. It's been so good to be on. I really enjoyed it.
A thank you, of course, to our audience. We hoped you gained some valuable insights or some tips today from our conversation with Eden. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to leave us a great rating. This helps us and our guests like Eden reach even more leaders with helpful information, insights, and more. We love helping leaders grow and thrive. We would love for you to consider our brand new Amplifying Leadership Circle community. More information is found at amplifyingleadership.ca/community-info. Leadership is better when we do it together. For more information about all of our Amplifying Leadership services, please visit us anytime at amplifyingleadership.ca, a division of Twin Life Coaching and Business Services. Until next time, remember, leadership matters.